Hey, everybody, welcome to another Simpsons commentary.
Woo-hoo!
For Homer the Vigilante, 1F something or another. I have no idea, do you?
1F09.
1F09? Oh, 1F09. I should have known that. This is Dave Merkin, executive producer, showrunner.
Hey, let's do the whole commentary like this and really annoy it.
Hi, this is Matt Groening.
This is David Silverman, supervising director, and I'll mention this aired originally on January 6, 1994.
Wow, 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing how time flies.
I like that one.
That's a good
one. That's a good, violent one. I enjoy explosions, and I love Maggie's pacifier coming
Actually,
down
I think
there.
That was an idea that I had.
Was that one of mine?
Yeah.
Very nice.
I liked it also because it was less animation for us. They just have to run in normally, and then we just blow up. By the way, I want to say, directed by Jim Reardon, who could not be here today, unfortunately.
Yes, he's Pixar-ing it up north at this particular moment.
Yes.
This music is very... That's such a great Homer joke without Homer ever being there. This is written by John Swartzwelder, and that was a pure John Swartzwelder joke. This is a pure John Swartzwelder joke. He does some of our very, very best Homer observations, I think. The fact that Homer is basically a dog. I think John Swartzwelder has said that.
He said he's basically a dog, and here he puts it to full practice.
This music is very inspired by an enormous influence on me in my life, and I know Matt loves him too, Henry Mancini. David Silverman happens to hate him. But no, he doesn't.
I play the tuba. How could I hate Henry Mancini?
Yeah, no, Mancini is the best. So this is sort of the Peter Gunn, Pink Panther type style that Mancini pioneered for the sound of Thieves.
Yes.
There you go. Oh, yeah, that was the pure Pink Panther ending right there. And Alf Clausen, our musical director, did a fantastic job.
Yeah, he had a fun job doing this, and this is good.
Necklace.
Yeah, that's no big loss.
Homer, that necklace was a priceless Bouvier family heirloom.
I enjoyed how much her necklace was in her neck, and you had to have the popping sound.
Exactly.
That was a good joke.
And this was a great joke, the way, and brilliantly read by Julia Cavendish. She goes, "Yes, I do." And she has a big ball of these pearls. And now everyone's laughing because Bart has a stamp collection. Nelson is getting better and better as the series goes on of doing his ha-has and getting in there no matter where he is. He's psychic, he can astral project, we've established all that.
Yeah, so he's starting to become more creative about that.
That's a big card.
Just to make sure we all could read it.
Go hell.
A little shorthand from her.
The burglar took my shroud of Turin beach towels.
Wow, it's a crime wave.
Good Lord, my Storm and Norman commemorative plate stolen. Again.
Hey, I thought I had...
There's an image of Barney that nobody needed.
Well, I kind of needed it.
No, it's great how awful he looked in that shot. You just saw parts of Barney that you would have paid big money never to see.
Well, you know, I think there's something with The Simpsons that the less you want to see somebody naked, the more likely you'll see them naked on The Simpsons.
That's good. It's the secret of the success of the show, is giving people what they don't want and what they fear. I like the way that he finds this pattern by moving randomly the things around, and they realize the arrow is pointing right at the station, and they all run. The joke about Wiggum, the police force, by the way, if you haven't figured it out over the years, is they're the worst. They're the worst.
I just figured that out.
This reporter isn't saying that the burglar is an
I like the chiron of the cat.
It's good. And again, as we said before in other commentaries on this season, I was always very interested in attacking the news for trying to scare everyone. So any chance we had, and Kent just said there, is a time to panic, and the expert said, yes, I think so. That's exactly what they're always trying to get you to do. So don't listen to them. Don't panic. No matter what you see or hear, there's nothing wrong.
Now we have, this is also sort of Schwartzwelder-like, isn't it?
It's really, Wiggum is so brilliant here, wiping himself off with the...
The people are very happy in the crowd, aren't they?
They are. The reporters are just, they're not helping, but they're writing about his pain and his blood.
Yes.
This is another pure Schwartzweldian moment where the house runs away instead of getting burgled. So of course, it doesn't work out. And, of course, little wooden people on fire fall out.
Won't burn quite so
fast. Wiggum is Hank Azaria, and Frink is Hank Azaria. So you just see how important, again, Hank is to the show and how funny he is. And so everyone's got security systems because they're all frightened and paranoid. And there's one of the full-size houses, and it does the exact same thing. We didn't have the heart to cut to the people. We didn't. But we can only imagine that people were killed in that hilarious joke. I think this might have been one of my jokes. I love it, so maybe it's not.
See again.
I can see again.
He can see his cataracts are gone, and then...
I'm blind. Well, easy come.
He had a good attitude, didn't he? He had sight for about 3 seconds.
By the way, it's a joke that probably wouldn't work in anything other than animation.
That's true. That's true.
Abe, can I borrow your ointment?
We so depend on animation to do our dark humor and people not get upset. And, you know, being someone who actually did a show that was very dark and very black that was live action, it really would upset people if someone's head came off in that show. Where here it's much funnier and much easier to take. We just are used to, I guess because we grew up with Bugs Bunny and everything, we're just used to seeing cartoons with homicidal behavior and think
exactly.
It's totally normal.
And they resurrect at the end of the fade-out.
No one gets hurt, yeah. Exactly. That's a big secret.
Yeah. Very vaudevillian.
I'm waiting for your saxophone. I got you another instrument.
What is jug?
Oh, this is a great thing.
Yeah, I love the animation on Homer here. He's so ready to turn into a hick at any given moment.
Never, ever stop in the middle of a hoedown.
And this is a nice, sweet moment here. And a lovely performance by Yardley as Lisa.
Don't worry. By the way, I also love Dan's laugh. Nice country laugh.
Yes, when he turned into a hick, he did that really well. I mean, Dan can not only do Homer, but he can do him in all these different styles and all these different accents and yet still keep the Homer voice. Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
As Homer faking as he's dancing.
Even the paper was stolen by the burglar.
He's a good, good burglar.
Dufferoonies to do something about this burglarino.
There's some nice observational mob behavior here, which this show is about. That's Ruth Powers, by the way, who is really just there. She doesn't really say anything.
Other than Flanders.
Other than Flanders.
Someone else!
As soon as Flanders shows any kind of questioning.
Not a good thing for leadership.
And this is the observation that, you know, given the choice, people will generally elect the worst leader possible. In that case, it's Homer.
Who's president
right
now?
Oh, when has that ever happened?
Oh. Oh, it's 2004 at the time of this recording.
You know, it won't matter when you say it. It'll always work as a joke. We have a bad leader at the moment, people. Whoever it is.
Decisive satirical commentary.
We are so satirical.
Another nice subplot that we have, which is that old people are useless. And in fact, I love Homer's behavior here, Dan's performance.
Very old man now. There we go. And old people are useless.
There you go. Which is Conan O'Brien's feeling the same. He feels the same way about that.
It's a form of abuse.
And he's right about that.
And this, John Schwartzwald and I see very, very eye to eye on humans and guns.
We're responsible adults.
I kind of had a sketch that I would write called The Arm Family, where this exact joke kept happening, except they kept shooting each other by accident. But I just love this. This was a big fight with the network right there, Bart having the gun and shooting the gun off.
It's also a great bit of directing by just having it as one shot and panning from side to side to side, not having cuts.
It's fantastic directing that was one shot, and the timing of it is so perfect. And by the way, you know, another great thing about animation, you couldn't really move a live-action camera that precisely and that quickly without having all kinds of blurring problems and focus problems. So
yes,
it's another great advantage of animation. And, of course, we have the best on this show, and we've been very lucky.
So now we have Maynard G. Krebs.
A Maynard G. Krebs type. I don't think we've been trying to do the voice. And, of course, this is all based on an enormous, enormous influence on all of us and everybody in comedy. But I'm just a huge, huge Kubrick fan. So it was great and fun.
This is from Lolita, I believe, isn't it?
Yes, I think it's Lolita. Where he rides the bomb down to kill the mother so he could have the daughter.
Isn't that Hal the computer?
Take that, Maynard G. Krebs!
Hey, see the sun?
That was a BIPAC shot.
Is that a BIPAC shot? It looks great.
Yeah, it looks great.
Really nice.
So we just shot Homer on the bomb against a green screen, basically, and then panned down.
BIPACs are available at your local Walmart.
Yes.
Aren't they?
Yeah. $2 a pack.
Okay.
Make ourselves feel big.
Bert, give me that megaphone.
I love what Barney's wearing, by the way.
Yeah.
Never mind the commercials, just give it to me. I'm going to whip this neighborhood into shape.
This is a great rap.
This is, and this is all Schwarzwelder's original idea of the rap master. Instead of getting rid of people, they like it.
They're all dancing. They're great dancing.
Very, very accurate.
Everybody's in their favorite military outfit.
Hey, you! Where'd you get that saxophone?
Sears.
Get him!
I believe that's a caricature of Mike Girard, who is our supervising overseas director.
Wow.
Who plays saxophone.
Very nice. Very nicely done. And this is great vigilante behavior, which is just going after the wrong people for the wrong things.
You better have a good reason.
Of course, you know, the way television works, so many people see a show and have different interpretations. I'm sure lots of people see the show and say, you know, vigilante groups are great. Let's form one. Let's make one. This, you know, this looks like fun.
Yeah.
We could feel big if we did it, just like Homer.
Exactly. Homer, he just makes people want to do the wrong things, I'm afraid.
You're in. Here's the sack.
But you gotta supply your own knobs.
Well, taking the joy out of everything.
That's right. He's Mr. Bringdown, there's no doubt.
Don't you see you're abusing your power like all vigilantes? I mean, if you're the police...
And this is interesting about how quickly Homer turns on his own child.
Catch the cat burglar. And I still don't have my saxophone.
Lisa, the mob is working on getting your saxophone back.
The mob.
We've also expanded into other important areas. Literacy programs. Preserving our beloved covered bridges. World domination.
World domination?
Oh, hey, it might be a typo. Mental note. The girl knows too much.
So Lisa's already in danger.
Charge that petty vandalism such as graffiti is down 80%.
And of course, Kent Brockman seems to host every single show on the network too. Seems to magically work.
To prove anything, Kent, 40% of all people know that.
40%. It's a good number. 40.
A lot of people think that 40 is a word. I believe.
Oh, Kent, I'd be lying if I said my men weren't committing crimes.
Touche. Well, it looks like we have our first caller, and I mean ever, because this is not a call.
Hello, Kent. Hello, Homer, my arch nemesis.
That voice is Sam Neill, who is a fantastic Australian actor that you probably know from Jurassic Park, a movie that was somewhat successful. And there's another great movie he's in, which is, if you can get it, check it out, called Dead Calm.
Oh, yeah.
Starring him and Nicole Kidman.
I think it was first film of Nicole Kidman was in.
I think she was actually in Flirting or something like that.
Oh, right.
Even younger. But, yeah, it was...
Very early on, certainly.
Very early on. Probably maybe her first or second film. It's directed by Philip Noyce, and it's just a fantastic movie. And Sam was lovely to direct. He was a huge Simpson fan, and he was really game, and he did a terrific job on the show. I'll tell you about people that weren't any fun. That's not Sam. Sam was great.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back is one of my favorite things. You know, it's sort of based on Merv Griffin and the way he said that, and I love it when Homer did it.
Just stand around and don't.
And it was really popularized by SCTV.
It really was. Rick Moranis.
Yes.
Did the most brilliant Merv Griffin. And I'm sure they'll keep this in, but that's coming out on DVD, so look for that in your store. The SCTV, the 90-minute SCTV. Did you buy it?
The first five episodes.
All right.
Yeah.
And we don't get any money for that. Well, maybe we will. We'll make some calls. Maybe we'll get some money.
You'd like it in here, wouldn't you?
Great Dragnet parody, by the way.
That was great. A great Dragnet
and,
parody. Great acting.
Jim Murden is a huge Dragnet aficionado, so...
Really?
Really, really nailed it. Now, who could that mysterious figure be? Perhaps the fellow was dressed in black earlier?
Oh, don't give it away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And, of course, that's the world's largest cubic zirconia.
Yeah, I like that he turns the alarm off.
Stolen. And, obviously, Homer couldn't resist the beer, and now he's totally screwed it up.
Well, his Bart is still behind him.
You have a job to do.
Yeah, Bart believes his father was drunk. There's no problem at all. I love all the tomatoes they have. I mean, and we never saw any of the bananas show up, but it's mostly tomatoes.
I don't believe in nothing no more. I'm going to.
I always wonder how expensive that is. Well, we want to throw our fruit at people. I mean, can they really afford that?
Depends if there's a sale on.
Oh, this doesn't work anymore. I didn't say stop.
He goes right back to the same position. Very funny.
Oh, my. I had no idea how much this town loved that zirconia.
Coming through! Coming through!
Oh, Grandpa, they pelted you, too?
No, actually, I fell down as a big boy. Done!
And this is another, you know, where we've called old people useless. This is the big turnaround for Grandpa. He has some really important information. But, of course, he lords it over to the point where they start to walk away from him. They still don't want to listen to him.
Watching Dan Castellaneta perform his grandpa voice makes me laugh so hard. I cannot be in the same room with him if we're recording.
Is that right? Just
because
looking
it
at
makes
him?
Me, it makes me crack up. I've ruined many takes. Sorry.
It is very amazing to watch Dan, and particularly watching Dan talk to himself. And like when you see Grandpa talking to Homer, that's just Dan talking to himself. And it looks, you know, if it wasn't for the business and show business, Dan would be in a home. I mean, he would be locked up. You know, this is very bizarre behavior. But
well,
instead,
I think all the actors that applies to, right?
Pretty much.
No, I think what's amazing about watching all the actors, I mean, Julie Kavner and Yardley Smith and even more Nancy Cartwright, you just can't believe those voices are coming out of them.
That's right.
I mean, after all these years, when I look at them, it's magic. It's amazing that they're able to do this stuff.
I did not believe, I knew Dan from the Tracy Ullman show. I had no idea that he was doing the Homer voice because it's so different from his regular voice. Right. And I ran into him and I said, you're not Homer. And he says, yeah, I am. I said, that's not your voice. How could, and he did it for me. And it's like you fall down because it's a completely different voice coming out of this guy.
Yeah.
And it's stunning and it's so complete and it's so fully realized that you just can't believe it. It's they're truly stunningly talented.
Mr. Malloy, it seems...
It's really funny because people still to this day, 2004, say, I'd like to be a voice on The Simpsons. And I go, well, you know, well, I've been hiring for 15 years. But.
Yeah, people say, oh, that'd be a good gig, you know.
Yeah.
And it is. Except for our big-time guest stars, you know, all the voices are done by this small group of people that have been with us. And, you know, we don't have to go outside for that. They can just do anything, and they do it brilliantly. And so... we're just very blessed with that.
Shut up.
I've had my moment.
Grandpa had his little moment.
Return all of your treasured possessions.
And Sam really conveys just how charming this guy is.
The lock of MacGyver's hair.
Thank you. I'll add it to the
looking
ball.
Very David Niven-ish.
That's one of the few times you see Milhouse's dad smiling, by the way. Maybe it's just a background character.
These are still the good times.
Oh, that's right. He's still married.
Still married back in those days, yeah.
I sincerely regret any inconvenience.
Lisa gets her sax back, and it's a sweet moment there.
Now, it seems like it's almost the ending of the episode, but wait.
Has stolen my heart.
No, he's so charming.
Let's let him go!
Yeah! I like the way it looks like that's where we're going, and then actually Wiggum does something right for once.
Yeah.
Mr. Malloy broke the law. And when you break the law, you gotta go to jail.
Ah, that reminds me, here's your monthly kickback.
You couldn't have picked the worst.
Great reading of
the town is so incompetent, and I love Homer's performance here.
I suppose you're wondering where I hid all the millions of dollars that I stole over the years.
Shut up!
he's not able to process that concept.
Buried right here in Springfield.
Now this is where this show starts to morph into one of my favorite movies of all time. And we got Dr. Strangelove in this movie, which is one of my favorites. And the other one, huge, huge influence. I saw it when I was just 6 years old. It's A Mad, 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 Mad World,
and
which
also
was a Cinerama movie.
Yes.
Is that also one of
really
your...
Are, you really too. Are obsessed Cinerama. With that movie. I mean, we have talked about that movie for hours.
Also, Jim loves it. Jim absolutely loves it. And here you got the actual music, didn't you?
Yes. Okay, and the score in Mad Mad World.
Absolutely love the score.
It's one of the very best comic scores of all time because it's beautiful and it's complex at the same time. It's got very complicated changes in it, and it's also beautiful. It has like three different themes that's great. Get the soundtrack if you can. It's by Ernest Gold. It's just one of the greatest.
Very celebratory.
It's wonderful. It really captures comedy in a great, sophisticated way, in every way. And Spencer Tracy's great in that movie, too. It's great. It's a great film. 3.5 hours of comedy.
Wow, that was fun.
Alf was great. He went out, and because I wanted him to, we got the exact charts of the music and had our 41-piece group play it. That's Phil Silvers. This is a scene right from the movie, and Bart does exactly what a little kid does
exactly.
In the film that leads this guy away.
He waves.
Yeah,
Phil
waves.
Silvers with Sergeant Bilko was another huge influence on a lot of us. I know Schwartzwelder is a huge Bilko fan, as am I.
The thing that was so amazing about that movie was it had all the comedians of the time, giant comedians of the time. By the way, this is the exact, location. That's Santa Monica.
California Incline. Yeah.
The California Incline, Ocean Avenue. When I first saw that in person when I came to Los Angeles, it was one of the most amazing things.
It's also in a lot of old silent movies.
It is. It's a great thing.
That's
Milton Berle.
Milton Berle, I believe. Jim had me animate that.
Oh, did he? Very nice job. Very nice job.
There's
Buddy
Hackett.
I found
something. Well, these are Buddy Hackett-like characters.
This is a great, right out of the film.
And we did the tree as a T, which makes no sense as a tree, but you'll see the W of the tree is in the background. That's like a little trick. We actually put the W of the trees in the background. I have already used this. If you come to Los Angeles, it's in Santa Monica where that hill was that they ran up. But when they get to the top, they're actually in Palos Verdes. And part of that W tree is still there.
Really?
Right.
I've never been there, but I've been told that it's true. I guess we're not going to find it. But check out Mad, 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 Mad World. But all my favorite comedians as a tiny kid, all in one movie together. Jerry Lewis and Jack Benny and Milton Berle. It was incredible, and I was just thrilled to jam this into the show.
Jonathan Winters.
Probably his best performance.
Yeah.
Probably Buddy Hackett and Jonathan Winters, their best film performances.
You know who my favorite performer in that movie is?
Yeah.
Ethel Merman.
The most brilliant, funny performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This by
Alf, a great version of our own theme by Alf in the kind of circusy style of Mad Mad World.
Well, actually, I heard it in the recording. When he came up with a theme for Mad Mad World, it was basically a carousel.
Yes.
That was what he was trying to go for.
And the opening cartoon, the opening animation is that world going around.
Right.
Did you like that cartoon?
Yeah. But I got to say that as a little kid when I saw it, the thing that thrilled me the most was the Three Stooges cameo.
Yeah.
I was like, where did the Three Stooges go? They had one shot.
That's what I was upset. Like, they didn't talk. You put them in and they don't talk. Of course, by then they could barely talk. They were wheeled away right after that shot.